this episode of NSFW Show, we are joined by the incomparable author, Scott Sigler. We play another Choose Your Own Adventure. We write a sequel to the Brock Sockman and Rabbi Manischewitz story, and so much more. Buy Scott's book, Pandemic, and then watch us on NSFW Show starting right now.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for NSFW is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is NSFW episode 213, recorded on January 14th, 2014. The Nine Fangs of My Aunt.
This episode of NSFW is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use offer code NSFW1. And Shutterstock. With over 1 million high-quality video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 25% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use offer code NSFW114. And Ting. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay for only what you use. Ting doesn't require a contract and offers unlimited devices on one shared plan. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit nsfw.ting.com. That's nsfw.ting.com.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Billy.
Go, go, go!
NSFW, the new show full of wind, the new sauce for the Webernets, the show that is nominally safe for work. Oh, hello there, chat realm. I didn't see you. It's me, Brian Brushwood, from Twit's Austin ancillary location, joined as always by the center of the universe, right there, the heart of the internet, Petaluma, California, Professor Justin Robert Reich III. What's up,
yes,
sir?
Yes, it's the third Reich, as my older brothers would attest.
I was actually trying to reference like Robert Reich, the former Secretary of the Treasury.
Yeah, he didn't
in the
do
1990s.
So good with that.
Well,
that's not good.
I'll tell you what. That's glad that you went with such an amazing reference that everybody picked up on it immediately.
Yes.
Brian, we have a real banger of a show, which is our British
way of saying it's a sausage of a show. He bangs.
We bang it. We bang this show until it bleeds. That's the rule. And everybody who doesn't follow it will be punished accordingly. Punished by who?
We bang this show until it's bleeding in the corner, weeping silently, wanting just saying, I just want a shower. That's how hard we bang this show. It's the banging this show on the internet.
Brian, of all the jokes that like, you can follow further down the rabbit hole, we go with bang till it bleeds, right up top. Couldn't leave that one alone. It was already middling on the edge. You're like, no.
No,
I want to push this 5 yards into the goal line.
No, that was true. We
push it 5 inches into the goal line anyway.
Oh, good God. All right, here we go. The man joining us right here, Scott Sigler, the author of the brand new book, Pandemic.
It's this one right here.
There we go. He's
Pandemic.
Got the copy. It is released a week from today, right?
Yeah, it's a week from today, yes. Yes.
Everybody needs to go to scottsigler.com/pandemic.
Correct.
To buy it, get all the details, and you are going on a book tour.
Going on a book tour
tomorrow.
Yes, and hopefully I come out of the show without a bleeding prostate and I'm in better shape to fly.
See, now again, like really bang until it bleeds is just a euphemistic thing.
There's clearly
Brian
a t-shirt coming
more
in.
More specific with weeping in the corner wanting a cold shower. You take it even further with a battered prostate.
Battered prostate
syndrome. This is why we're three peas in the pod, where two of the peas are making the third pea uncomfortable.
It goes rapidly from metaphor to instruction. Yep. The more details that we give, the more it becomes something other than just a metaphorical joke.
That's when the Diamond Club switches from this to this right here, I think.
No,
something along those lines?
No. Those are battered inner thighs and labia. Okay. Brian, we're going to get right into things because we had a hell of a time a couple episodes ago when Scott was on. I think, I forget what book you were on the warpath for at that point,
yep.
But we did two things, and we're going to repeat two bits tonight.
Two bits.
Just so you know, if you think this is a repeat of NSFW show where Scott Sigler comes on and does a Choose Your Own Adventure, and then we make up a story, well, then congratulations. It basically is. But we're going to do the same thing again, and hopefully it will be as funny. Brian, what Choose Your Own Adventure do we have for Scott Sigler?
Well, here's the thing. We wanted something that would sort of take us on the hero's journey, something that would have both ups and downs, make us question who we are, where we came from, sort of grow as a person. So we got a little gem called New Kids, Old Kids. So many kids in school. Designed for second graders.
I don't know what everybody's laughing at. This sounds perfectly innocent and nice and wonderful.
Yeah,
I don't,
yeah. Actually, Brian, could you do me, and just because I want to give the story the gravitas that it deserves, can you read that title slower and in a lower pitch voice?
Sure. In fact, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoy this evening's performance of New Kids, Old Kids. So many kids in school.
Okay, Brian, you're doing great.
They're off to a great start right now. I like it.
Do me a favor. Can you do that exact same thing, right?
Yep,
except
yep.
At the end, add a big cackle as if it were echoing throughout a castle.
Or a tender sigh, either way.
All right.
Do me a favor, add a tender sigh in between so many kids and in school. So just a sigh after so many kids, and then a raucous laughter.
Okay, and then this will be us taking it in. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NSFW Theater and our production of New Kids, Old Kids. So many kids. In school.
So I think we're ready to begin.
Yes, my promise to myself to keep it classy this time is really gonna bear fruit.
All right, man, let's go ahead. Let's jump, let's dive right in. And of course, if you as we begin, let me go ahead and center this so folks can read along with me.
All right, so Brian, this is how we did it last time. You will read the all the narrator parts. I will read all of the quotations. I'll do the voices of the characters, and Scott,
sure,
of course, will decide where we are going in this story. And because he has the author sensibility,
Do you want me to actually pause for you to read those words, or do you want me to read it and then we kind of walk through it?
No. Just wait for me. I'm reading along with you.
All right, got it. Here we go. Chapter 1, A New Day. The sun peeks through the window and says,
"Hey, whoa!"
You wake up to the sound of birds chirping on the windowsill. It is Monday morning and you have school today. You brush your teeth, change into your favorite clothes, eat some bacon and eggs, and go out to the door to walk to school. Which way do you take to school?
Is it
the alley path? Is it the main road?
Already I can tell the clothes for school is a gimp outfit. I mean, it's obvious.
Oh, come on.
So there's only one way to roll when you're wearing the gimp outfit, and that is take the alley.
So you're saying that the gimp is going to jingle jangle his way.
That's right. He's got the zipper mouth, but not the padlock key. So
he wakes up. Now when you're brushing the teeth, you're talking about the zipper teeth. He's keeping them
There's no, don't play ignorant, all right? Everybody knows that when you've got the GIMP outfit and you're home and you're in safe zone, you can have the zipper mouth open. You can talk. It's perfectly normal. But once you leave the boundaries of the domicile, that thing's got to get zipped and locked. That's just the way it is.
All right. So the kid, the 18-year-old protagonist of this story wakes up, puts on a GIMP suit, and immediately takes it in the alley. That's what's going on.
Age of consent in Arkansas is 15. I'm just saying. We can set it in Arkansas.
So we're setting it in Arkansas. It's he's 15, and this is officially going to be adapted by Larry Clark for the feature film.
Okay,
here we go. Let's take the alley path. Chapter 2, the alley path. You start down the alleyway just behind your house. A raccoon fishes. I thought that was a different word. Through the garbage. And you see a little girl who is a few years younger than you, which means you must be 21 because there can't be any little girls younger than 18, which was the age we thought you were. Fortunately, you're 21 and she must be 18. She has darker skin and is eating a banana.
Yeah.
She smiles at you.
It's going to be a good day at school, I can tell already.
A boy who's a little bit older than you, which must be like 24, 25, runs out of the house and tosses the girl's banana on the ground. She looks at him and starts to cry. What do you do? Do you keep walking or jump between the girl and the boy?
Yeah, so far, this is a brilliant piece of literature that really just writes itself.
I mean, really?
So
you're saying that you are totally on board right now. You are riveted into this narrative.
I like the narrative subtext. I like the neoclassical overtones of this. So I believe that we are going to jump between the girl and the boy.
The highly charged erotic thrill ride. New kids, old kids, so many kids at school.
At school.
In school. Chapter 3, jump between the girl and the boy.
You guys set this up, didn't you? No, you wrote this shit. Oh, darn.
Oh,
that was half. Check swing.
Nope.
What?
He went around.
Dang, nabbit. See, belt, question
Chapter
mark.
Chapter 3, jump between the girl and the boy. You jump between the girl and the boy.
What do you think you're doing?
You say? The boy furrows his eyebrows at you.
I'm her big brother. I'm allowed to boss her around.
No, you're not.
You say?
That was her banana, and you knocked it out of her hands. That's not very nice.
Stop telling me what to do.
The boy growls. He stalks away. At this point, I'd like to pause to discuss the following questions with your teacher. Hey, guys, why is it important to stand up for people who are getting bullied?
Okay.
And what are some other people you could help call for help between some fighting kids?
I have an answer for this. I believe that some things you can do to help people stop getting bullied are, you know, show constant support and love and let them know that you're there for them. As for the second part of the question, I think a horse mask is mandatory. You really should have a giant floppy horse mask in order to make sure that people, you know, have that connection, that they're not... What was the second part of the question? I already forgot.
The second part of the question is, who are some other people who you could call for help to step between some fighting kids?
Yeah, horse people in a horse mask or full-on goalie outfit, either way.
So you need a horse mask.
Real quick, can I ask you guys a serious question?
Sure.
Let's say $100 was on the line. What would the last word be in the Google autocomplete if I started writing giant floppy horse? Would it be mask?
No, I don't think it would
be. Are we ready to put the $100 on the line?
Dude, that might get interesting.
I can say, though, it might have something to do with your giant black cock shirt, though. That's...
You do have, audio listeners, Brian does have a giant black cock.
There's a big black cock on my shirt. Yeah. No, there's definitely a big black cock on my shirt. That's neither here nor there.
All right. Well, I mean, Brian, I feel like we do have a bit in the $100 Google challenge.
I mean, do you want to lay down on it?
You want let's come back to
all right,
it.
All right, I feel like all right, here we go.
We need to go back to it, Brian.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead, now... take it up. Take it right up there.
There we go.
Are you okay? This is your line.
You ask the girl.
Oh wait, hold on. Are you okay?
You ask the girl. She nods and whispers,
"Thank you."
"You're welcome,"
you say. "Must be getting late now. You should hurry on to school. Do you continue towards school or wait because there's no other options?"
Scott?
I think that you're going to wait because other options will present themselves shortly.
Man, get that big floppy horse thing out of my face. What are you doing?
That big floppy horse mask.
Well, I'm just trying to say it. We're sitting here in the middle of a show. I turn around, and all of a sudden, Scott's just got this big floppy horse thing, and I'm just like, ooh.
There's a floppy horse appendage about the studio. It's nobody's problem.
So it's all right, here we go. You can... chapter 5, continue towards school. As you approach the school, you can see the Canadian flag flying.
That's the problem.
The voices of children who are definitely 18 waft towards you. Your classroom is the one with the daisies in front of the window. You enter the school and find your classroom easily. You store your lunch in the cubbyhole and sit down at your desk. Do you wait for class to start or question why this is called a choose your own adventure story?
After I get done storing my lunch in the cubby and entering the school through the back door, I'm going to wait for class to start.
Chapter 6, wait for class to start. Just as the teacher starts class, a new student walks in. He has lots of freckles and very red hair.
"Oh, hello. You must be Freddy Wrinkle."
"Yo, teacher," Mrs. Molly says. Freddy nods. He looks down at the ground.
"Welcome to our class, Freddy."
Mrs. Molly says,
"You can sit right there in that empty desk."
She points to the desk right beside you. Freddy sits down beside you, and you notice he smells kind of funny. What do you do? Oh. Do you whisper? Justin, do you whisper?
"You smell funny."
Or do you say?
"Nice to meet you, Freddy."
Well, I don't want Freddy to go through life not facing any challenges. And I also don't want him to expose his smelliness to other people and not be aware that he smells. So if we work with Freddy on a little bit of personal hygiene, maybe some lube from time to time, I think this could all work out. I think you have to tell him that he's got a funky, so
yeah,
funky
you're saying you're a fan of self-improvement, and the first step is diagnosis. You're saying that this is a guy who needs, you're embettering his life. Yeah. So you smell funny. Chapter 7, you whisper, "You smell funny." You lean over your desk and whisper,
"You smell funny."
Justin.
He said you smell funny.
Oh, okay. Sorry, we had an internet hiccup there, so I don't know if I got lost there. Freddy looks at you and frowns.
"That wasn't very nice."
"But it's true,"
you say.
"And I don't like your freckles."
Tears well up in Freddy's eyes. He turns his face away from you. At this point, I'd like to pause and talk real quick to Scott Sigler. Hey, man, have you ever said something hurtful to someone without meaning it?
I feel like we should have some The More You Know music playing in the background for this part of the set. What was the question again?
Have you ever said something hurtful to someone without meaning it, dickhead?
That's a belt, right? Am I wrong? Is that a belt?
No.
Hey, why? Please. What are you talking about? No,
dude,
learns the dems the rules, Ziggler.
I don't know the rules, but now I can use dickhead, which is very helpful. Yes, I have said hurtful things to people, and sometimes I meant it, sometimes I did not mean it, but at all times I have felt much shame and chagrin and gone back and tried to mend my ways. All times.
Has anyone done the same to you? Like you did it to them and then they did the same to you?
So have I ever done it to someone and then they did it to me back again?
Yeah. Circle but the same, but the same doing. Way.
The same.
Like you just did it. And then they're like, well, now I'm going to do you. And then they did it back to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's happened a couple of times. Sure.
I mean, it is San Francisco.
Sure. There's a lot of mutual respect, shall we say, going on.
Now, I'm serious. How did it feel?
Well, it felt nice to have that kind of connection, that sure. sharing, that everybody was open and vulnerable and spread themselves out, so to speak.
Thin
so
at times.
Spread themselves a little bit of thin at times. Maybe a shower of love, if you will. Yeah. You know, that open, that blessed nature.
You could almost
of
bathe in it.
You could almost bathe in it. And it becomes a part of you, is the thing.
Sure.
It really, once it enters you, it becomes a part of you, and it's all one big happy family. So I think it felt pretty
right
good.
On.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get back to the story. Time moves slowly.
Sloppy writing.
But finally, it is lunchtime. Mrs. Molly comes up to your desk.
I've decided that you will be Freddy's buddy for the week. Can you please take Freddy to the cafeteria?
I guess all right, I will take Freddy click to on the cafeteria.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds smart to me.
Yep.
Chapter 8, go to the cafeteria. When you reach the cafeteria, there is already a long line. Today, they are serving pizza and salad. Yum. The leaders of the cool kids at school, Sandra and Ken, come up to you and Freddy.
Hey, who's the new kid?
Sandra asks.
This is Freddy.
You say. Freddy looks away.
Well, we've decided you can join our table today. But Freddy is not allowed.
Ken says, what do you do, Scott Sigler? Do you stay with Freddy instead of going to the cool kids' table? Or leave Freddy and go to the cool kids' table?
I'm going to have to opt out to the chat realm on this one. I want to get some feedback real quick. Chat realm, let's look really quick. Take 5 seconds. Cool kids or stay with Smelly Freddy?
I think it should also be pointed out, and you make a very, very good point, that it has not been resolved yet in the story, so we can only assume that Freddy still smells like poop.
And Donkey Fister is not an answer. Fister is not an answer. Cool kids, stay. Fire trucks, chicks, cool kids, stay. Wow, it's about a 50-50 split. I'm going to say, let's
stay
let's
with Fred, take his food.
Blow up the school, says Twit Raccoon.
You know, for some reason, I thought there'd be a little bit more empathy out of the chat room. I don't know what I was thinking. Fart is also not an answer. Fart is not an answer. We'll stay with Freddy. We're going to stay with Freddy.
All right. Maybe, well, if you farted, then you wouldn't smell Freddy. So, all right, you leave Freddy. Oh, wait. Nope. Sorry. Oh, here we go. Yeah, stay with Freddy. That's what you wanted, right?
Yeah, stay with Freddy.
Chapter 4. Stay with Freddy. You say,
I'll stay with Freddy. I'm his buddy for the week.
Ken frowns at you and crosses his arms. Sandra crosses her arms too. Suddenly, they look very, very tall. Then, thump. Ken's hands push into your chest and you stumble backwards. Thump. He pushes you again and again.
Stop!
You cry, but your voice isn't very loud. And Ken looks like he can't hear anybody right now. Freddy is frozen. His mouth in an O. He runs to the nearest supervising teacher. Mr. Edwards runs up to Ken, Sandra, and you. He puts himself between you and Ken. Ken stops trying to push you, but his face is red, and he glares at you.
Yeah. Now, what happened here?
Mr. Edwards asks.
Mr. Edwards came from Okinawa. He's a good cat. I'm still stuck on Freddy showing everyone his O-face. Pretty fantastic. Since there's no actual choice in this choose-your-own-adventure sometimes story, I'm going to go ahead and click on the link, whatever the hell it was.
FLS Carnage in the chat room, just legit. What is Ken's problem? He's kind of a dick, to be fair. He's got some real problems.
He's got some rage issues.
Yeah.
His face is red.
Oh, my God. All right. Chapter one, tell Mr. Edwards what happened. You tell Mr. Edwards that Ken pushed you because you decided to stay with Freddy instead of joining the cool kids table. Freddy confirms your story and Sandra nods her agreement. Ken stays silent.
Well, it looks like Ken will be having detention after school today.
Mr. Edwards says,
hi! Ken and I are going to have a chat for a bit.
He pulls Ken aside and they talk in the hallway.
Are you okay?
Freddy asks you. You rub your chest.
Yeah.
I think so.
You both get your food and sit down to eat. When you're working on your salad.
Your toss salad.
Mr. Edwards returns with Ken.
Ken has something to say to you.
Mr. Edwards says, Ken's eyes are looking at the floor, but finally he looks up at you.
I'm sorry for pushing you and for not including Freddy.
I don't think that reads the same way that it was written. give that to me again, but this time say, I'm sorry for pushing you and for not including Freddy.
Okay, here we go. Second read.
I'm sorry for pushing you and not including Freddy.
Mr. Edwards pats Ken on the back. He asks you,
so then, do you forgive Ken?
What do you do? Do you forgive Ken? Or do you refuse to forgive Ken? I'm a big fan of Mr. Edwards, by the way. Mr. Edwards may be my new favorite character on the show.
Well, I gotta say, I still don't know what Ken's problem is, and I hope he dies, and I hope he burns in hell. So I am not forgiving Ken. Burn in hell, Ken. Burn in hell.
Yes. Chapter 3, refuse to forgive Ken.
No, Ken, I don't forgive you. What you did to me and Freddy was mean, and I don't want to forgive you.
You say, you cross your arms. Ken sniffs and looks at the ground. Scott, I feel like now's a good time for me to ask it. Like, is there ever a time when someone didn't forgive you and after you said you're sorry? Like, how did that make you feel?
Well, it did not make me feel good, Brian. It made me feel real bad. I knew I had done wrong. And, you know, oddly, it was also a salad-related incident, you know, which is coincidental with this story, completely coincidental. And I was not forgiven for my behavior. So it did not make me feel good at all, no.
You know what? What should we have done instead of refusing to forgive Ken?
I think you forgive and you forget, hopefully forget, with a lot of booze and some Ambien, and as much of that as you can do, and you just try and forget these things and move on, and forgive and forget, I think.
Let's try that again. End game and leave comments.
Brian, I feel like that was an amazing adventure. Yeah. Everybody here in the chat room, let's go ahead and get some digital applause for Scott Sigler and shepherding this
Scott
story
Sigler,
along.
He did. He really took us on the hero's journey, man. It's, yes. We learned a little bit about ourselves. We grew. We ate some salad. We got pushed an awful lot. We got up between a guy and a girl and their banana.
An O face.
People in the chat room.
Yeah.
You want to know what? And this is actually.
I'm not sure if people in the chat room were actually following the same story based on some of the suggestions that they were kicking out, but no. they had their own story of some
funny thing. And actually, this just came up on my iPad. Mr. Edwards was just found dead in his home.
No.
The police are speculating seppuku. So,
if he killed himself, I'm almost certain if he killed himself, he would have left like a videotape. In fact, I would bet a lot of money that there was like a recording on his computer of his last words explaining why he was leaving this world. What did that sound like?
I think it sounded like this. I could only give you one last bit of advice. Squarespace is the best place to make a website.
When you say Squarespace,
yeah,
what are we talking about?
Squarespace, as the authorities understand, is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio.
Dude, that's great. What did I just miss?
I just looked over and I see you just trying to catch your breath. Before going forward,
you start the ad read, and I'm like, finally, I can center, I can get back in shape, and then you toss to me, and I'm like, ah, son of a. Listen, man, I don't know about you, but I love blogs, I love portfolios, and I love websites of all varieties. I wish I could be one, or at the very least, make one, but I don't know anything about HTML or website design.
Let me ask you this. So what are your least favorite things about websites? Whenever you're making your own website, what's your least favorite thing?
The fact that they're not just in my view at all times. It seems like if there was a way to be seeing them.
Are they ugly?
I mean, the ones I make. Here's what happens, okay?
You make ugly things, right?
Well, I don't intend. Okay, so it's like I'm like, tonight's the night. I'm going to make a website. And I sit down, I start printing.
Pour yourself a nice little glass of scotch.
Yeah. Maybe a silk rope.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to make a website tonight.
Yeah.
I put on some Counting Crows.
I'm going to make a website.
I'm going to code you up, baby.
Tonight, I'm going to open up.
Let me show you my HTML, baby.
Hello, world. I need to visit with you.
Horizontal rule.
I need your CSS in my HERAT.
Let me make those words strong, baby.
Didn't spell heart right.
But the problem is, see, you guys are just mocking me because the evening always ends with me in tears and my website ruined. And I just feel like I'm valueless. And hideous, and no one's ever gonna love me, and I can't be made into a beautiful butterfly.
Tonight, Brian, beautiful designs.
You need to look at Squarespace, baby.
Tonight, we're gonna be easy to use.
I'm gonna show you how beautiful you are, baby.
Tonight, we're gonna be inexpensive for you.
You're pretty, and I don't say that to all the websites, Brian.
Tonight, the hosting is included.
What? Hold on. Not only are you going to make me something beautiful, you're going to host it for me?
Yes, Brian. Tonight, Squarespace takes care of all the hosting so you don't have to.
Dude, great, because I hate hosts and everyone who's hosting. I want other people to host,
dude,
not me.
They're straight garbage. How about this one? Mobile Ready, the new Squarespace metric app for iPhone or iPad, allows you to check site stats like page views, unique visitors, and social media follows. With the blog app, you can make text updates, tap and drag images to change layouts, and monitor comments on the go. Brian, we're all busy people. We're going. We're not staying.
Dude, the problem is I'm so busy. I ain't got time to tap that image. But if I can tap that image and then go, then great.
Brian, even better. Tonight, you can tap and drag that image.
Drag it right down, baby.
Tonight, start a free 2-week trial with no credit card required. Start building your website.
It ain't free, baby, but ain't no credit card required.
When you decide to sign up for Squarespace Chimes. It's where these where the chimes are gonna go. Make sure you use the offer code NSFW1. Get 10% off. Show your support for the show. We thank Squarespace for their support of NSW Show. We need Squarespace tonight. Everything you need to create an exceptional website. Squarespace is an exceptional website maker. Brian, the last time, one of the last times that Scott was on here, we had a really fun thing that wound up becoming a part of Scott's literary career.
Yes.
We came up with a story.
Yes.
And Scott wrote it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You put it that way. I would say we crapped gold out of our mouths and he banked on it. So you're welcome, Scott.
Well, that's okay. That's true. Yeah. There was mouth crappy gold falling pieces. But what we have now is we're going to gather those pieces up in a stack and shove them right back in again.
Yeah.
In a way.
Only for us to choke on it.
Yep.
And cough it up again so we can then sell it.
Magic. Yeah. I made my own food. Yes, it's going to be great. So what we've done, here.
Hold on. Did you just say magic, I'm in my own food? Is that what I just heard?
I said magic, I made my own food.
Yeah.
Which is hyperbole punchline, but yeah, in my own food, that doesn't make any sense. Unless there's jelly involved, then it makes a lot of sense. But that's besides the point.
Maybe a nice creme brulee.
Creme brulee, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Ugh.
So,
hey, quit
you can tell
other.
Them, you can tell the viewing audience what they get today.
Here's the deal. Since we came up with this story, a lot has happened. It was in, what was the final?
The
Beam Up on Aisle 5.
Beam
right?
Up Bones on Aisle White. 5, yes.
It was on, or in Scott's short story compilation, Bones Are White. I was brought in to read the story. It is in the audiobook for Bones Are White.
That's right.
And I think people have been clamoring for more of these characters.
Yes. For Brock Stockman, Big Ugly, and the Rabbi.
Yeah.
And
oh my gosh. We're bringing back the exact same. We're telling their sequel? Is this what's going on?
That's right, Brian. That's
yes.
right.
We are bringing them back. We're bringing back that old New Hoboken rap. And we are doing another Brock Stockman and Big Ugly.
Yep.
Story.
And
well, I thought it was Rabbi Joseph or Manischewitz.
Oh, Rabbi. Yeah, Rabbi Manischewitz and Brock Stockman, right?
Yep. Rabbi Manischewitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And just so everybody who is not caught this before,
yeah,
we're gonna give away the short story collection "Bones Are White" over at ScottSigler.com with the coupon code NSFW, so they can go to ScottSigler.com. / shop, or they can go to the main page, pull down the library menu. They can find Bones Are White, which is an ebook, and they can add that to their cart, put it right in that cart. And when they check out, boom, put in the code NSFW, just Bones Are White ebook. It's free.
You're free.
Yep.
You're boom, absolutely free.
It.
Right there.
Yep. That's it.
What?
Yep. I'm not lying.
Dude, freaking amazing.
Yep.
$4.99. Eat that. Eat yep. that white bone. That's we're not paying that. We're gonna get it for free with code NSFW.
You can all take my white bone,
yeah.
And you may ingest the white bone and make it a part of you, so that
yeah.
You might not know exactly what everybody's talking about tonight, but we're gonna make up a story.
Yeah, just take Scott's white bone, put it inside you.
Take all of it.
Experience the joy. Put it in your cart. Yeah.
Yeah. Put it right. Put it in your cart. You might want to back your car up to get it because it's a big bone. But
back it up.
That's what you
take
say.
The white bone.
Hey, let's be real.
I don't have to have any evidence on this. I make stuff up for a living. Yes, the bone is huge.
Oh, it's a gigantic.
It's gigantic.
Sure. Well, here we're gonna write a sequel.
Yes.
So just to catch everybody up, the last time that we visited with Rabbi Manischewitz and Brock Stockman, the Big Ugly, they are two. Would you say low rent criminals?
Yeah, they're two low rent criminals. They're enforcers. They're both MMA.
Yeah.
On New Hoboken, Space Station New Hoboken. And Brock Stockman's not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Uh-huh.
And the rabbi largely is just trying to keep him out of trouble by taking contracts with shifty people who will pay them money, sometimes to rough people up, sometimes just to get information.
And the last time they went on a big murder mystery throughout mm-hmm. the underworld of New Hoboken, including some of the characters that we went through in our previous story at that point.
Yeah.
So now
all right, I got this one. I got this one.
Okay, Brian, go ahead.
Is a ghost from Rabbi Manischewitz's past come back? And he's not an actual rabbi, right? They just call him.
No,
the
that's
rabbi?
Like his nickname because he
his
is.
His nickname.
He's
was
Jewish.
It Joseph Manischewitz?
No, he's
Joseph
he's
Manischewitz.
Yeah. No, but he's not a rabbi.
No, he's that's his
yeah,
MMA
that's his nickname. Yeah, because he's Jewish.
Now entering, weighing 145 pounds with a record of 5 wins and 17 losses, the rabbi, like that kind of.
There
rabbi.
We go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so the rabbi has a ghost from his past surface, which I guess is how every single one of these stories goes. But in this case, he owes a very big debt that he needs to pay off. And the only way to do it is to assemble a team of 6 curious characters to perform a heist to get a data card that has some blackmail.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. Okay, so now we've got some open slots, obviously. Brock Stockman is on the team.
He doesn't go anywhere without Brock Stockman. Yeah. Absolutely.
So now we have 4 more spots. Let's assemble the team, and then we'll figure out what they are stealing. I feel like Mr. Edwards needs to be on the team.
All right, so yeah, Mr. Edwards is...
Didn't he die?
I thought
he was
in real life.
Oh, okay.
You make up things, like the Big Bone.
So this is a... So it's a heist and/or caper, okay?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah. It's loose. We're just talking about the bones. We're just laying some white
Apex
bones.
Apex in the chat room suggests Skeeve Gibson, the hacker.
Skeevy Gibson. Okay, yeah. So Skeevy Gibson is the hacker. Mr. Edwards is a teacher by day, but a martial artist by night.
Oh, that's racist.
Yeah. That's racist. That's what you're gonna go with. That part is racist.
Just
say where the boundaries
are.
That's all.
I like trying to keep our racial sensitivities in line.
Just establishing boundaries. That's all fine. Yes. Teacher by day, martial artist by night. Right.
Funny, this will put a fit in this. So Andrew Main, friend of the show, had a TV show debut. I was talking with Ashley, my girlfriend, about that. And she's like, you know, if you were ever on television, you would really need to calm down. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, some of the stuff you do on NSFW show is not cool to people outside of a podcast audience. And I'm like, oh, what? Come on, what? She's like, the voices. And I'm like, what voices? Smash
they
cut
love,
to
people
me.
People love the voices.
Smash cut to me. Hey, yay, yay. Mr. Edwards.
By the way, I really liked your protagonist's voice. At first, I thought it was a bit much, but then as it went on, I became more excited that he had exactly one intensity, one volume, and one emotion.
I like
at
to call it
time.
Third guy in the posse in any movie starring a rapper. That's that voice.
Yes.
What do you mean, dog? Right.
Well,
somebody
asked if we could have Andrew Main the magician in the story, but there already is a magician in the story. There's a mysterious magician who has spiky blonde hair and, you know, things poof up and he disappears and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but he was another underworld
figure.
He was
killed.
In the first one. So
he died.
Is he part of the team?
Oh, he's part of the team. That's a demanding.
No.
To make. He could be the foil.
Nope. I feel like he should be pestering them to join the team the entire time. But Rabbi just doesn't have the time for this guy. He's like, come on, I go poof. I'm the magic guy. And he's like, look, man, your hair's gone limp. You're no good to us anymore because he's like old now.
So he's had a bad shocking experience, perhaps at lunch, perhaps when he didn't join the cool kids. And it changed him. He's a changed man.
All right. What about... a once respected member of the New Hoboken community who has recently been exiled and now lives a piecemeal existence just outside of New Hoboken.
On his own asteroid. Like he's just like that. Like they go to visit
Flom
him.
Flom Garrett.
Flom?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the guy's named Flom, F-L-A-M, and Flom Garrett lives in his own little asteroid. And when they go to visit him, they talk about how, like, oh, man, this guy, he used to run this joint.
Yeah.
And then they get there, and what's sad is it becomes apparent that he still thinks he's a king, but just of a different castle.
Indeed.
And so he's like, He's talking to like his pots and pans all around him, and he delivers
He keeps referring like that there is going to be this groundswell of support with the Garrett militia.
Yes, yes. And he's like, they're waiting for me, boys. And but they bring him in because he's crazy, but he's canny like a fox.
Yeah.
But needs to be kind of controlled.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And the Garrett Garrison is what he calls
the
his
Garrett
people.
Garrison.
He's like the Garrett Garrison. They're there. All around you.
So do we need two more?
Well, we've got Skeevy Gibson, the hacker.
Skeevy Gibson. Sorry.
We've got Mr. Edwards, teacher by day, martial artist by night. And I'm going to have to write that, which is awesome. Then we have Flam Garrett. So
that's five, including our the rabbi and
yes.
And okay, so then here's the last one. You ready?
Yes.
The last one is that they're all like they try to get one guy, and they keep, but they can't get him. Or maybe this is where they go for the floppy headed magician. Like he can't do it. He's like, I'm sorry, guys.
We need a girl.
We do need a girl and or a vaguely gay character.
I've got it.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay.
They're like there's this scene where finally everyone's like, you gotta do it. He's like, I'm not gonna do it. I won't do it. And then finally they go and they knock on the door. Door opens. You don't see the character. You just hear her very characteristic voice say, Justin.
I think the bartender.
Oh. Hey, mister.
And then they have to get Carney Cow.
Carney Cow would be, yeah. That's
Carney Cow was going to be in it one way or another.
Exactly.
I can tell you that there. Because her romance with it. Brock Sockman.
I heard you're Mr. Edwards' son. I'd like to son my Edwards on him. Doesn't make any sense, Carney Cow.
You don't make any sense.
Who is the lady with the bartender? Darn it. I forgot.
Yeah.
We'll probably come back with that.
See, Justin?
Cow.
Yeah.
Meth Cow is Carney Cow, right?
Yeah. What were you saying, Brian?
Well, I was just going to say, Scott couldn't remember, and he wrote it. And I'm like, see? It's not just me. Scott forgets everything, too.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. I didn't pick up on the reference you made to a private conversation we had 45 minutes before the show.
All right, fine. Now everyone knows we talked. We talked, and everyone knows it.
Brian. Another one from the chat room. I'm not putting in huge G-rection. I'm not huge G-rection.
Oh, come on. We have some decorum and cleverness to these things, like Meth Cow and Japanese Mr. Edwards.
Also, Rape Snake is not going in there either.
Rape Snake, no!
No. Rape Snake. That's
snake.
So gimmick.
Rape Snake is not going in my story.
Rape Snake was a Weird Things character.
Okay.
Yeah, come on, man. Let's keep our universes separate.
Exactly.
We can keep this consistent and do this right.
Snake.
So this is our team. Skeevy
Gibson. By the way, there was a suggestion that Skeevy Gibson's nickname is Skeet. So it's Skeet Skeevy Gibson.
Skeevy Skeet Gibson.
Is Skeevy Gibson someone from the show or?
Steve Gibson is the host of Security Now here on the Twit Network.
Oh, okay.
He is an extremely knowledgeable professional, which is why it's hilarious that we defame him in this ridiculous story.
Okay. So, Skeevy Gibson, every team has to have a hacker because that's how Hollywood works right now. There's always a hacker who can do magically anything.
Adam asks, what about the rescue snake?
Yeah, man. All right. So what's the so they assemble the team. And what is it they have to get? What's the MacGuffin?
Yes, what is the MacGuffin?
So I like the idea that they need to, I mean, I don't know. Should it just be money? Like they need to.
I think it should be someone called MacGuffin. I think there should be an actual character named John MacGuffin.
There you go. They need to kidnap Marcel MacGuffin.
Marcel MacGuffin.
I don't know why
Well, he's the famous mime from Jupiter. So yeah, I think for sure.
Marcel MacGuffin.
Marcel.
Except, however, as culture has evolved, miming is now yelling at the top of your lungs what you're doing. So you just say, I'm typing on a typewriter! Now I'm washing a window! That's the Jupiter School of Mimery.
Okay. He's from the Jupiter School of Mimery.
I'm Marcel MacGuffin! Hong Kong!
What? Now, why do they need Marcel MacGuffin?
That's a good question, Brian. I've been asking myself that.
Of course, as you know, Marcel MacGuffin was the lover of the president of New Hoboken. And it is only so if they have him alive, can they blackmail the president to get what they want.
Is Chad LaTilton behind this?
Chad LaTilton is now the president.
Oh, geez, OP.
Of New Hoboken. Yeah,
okay, now here's the other thing as well.
Ew,
is
Chad LaTilton.
There is a lot to deal with because you can't just go up and steal Marcel MacGuffin, right? He's very well protected.
Well, who has Marcel MacGuffin now? That's the question.
Well, no. It's like he's touring with his two tour managers. He's got big highfalutin Saturnian representation. Simon and Nigel are the ones who are looking out for him.
From New Britannia. Or no, they're actually from London. Like, they just came from there. Like, they're just from London.
It's from regular London.
The actual classic London, on Earth. Sure.
From old London, sure.
They're from old London town. So Simon and Nigel are the masterminds behind Marcel MacGuffin. They are trying to keep him safe, and they are our antagonists. The team has to thwart everything that they've set up around Marcel so they can kidnap Marcel and use him as blackmail against now President Chad LaTilton.
So they have to penetrate the impenetrable fortress.
Yeah.
Then get the MacGuffin, who's named MacGuffin.
Yeah.
And then
I'm being kidnapped!
No, I'm not miming. I'm actually being effing kidnapped. What's wrong with you people? This isn't an act. Then they use...
It's his greatest work.
Oh, it's fabulous. I can't get over the talent. It's shocking to me. Shocking. Then they use the MacGuffin to blackmail Chad LaTilton. Do I have this all right? Yep.
Also, Marcel MacGuffin is a black male.
Well, that's fine. Why would that be funny?
Because
he's going to use the blackmail for blackmail, Brian.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't get that because I'm dumb.
An
African-American not very
gentleman.
It's pretty good. That's cool. All right.
What do they want LaTilton to do? Why are they blackmailing LaTilton? What is the...
Well, okay. I feel like this is where... Maybe we don't say what that is, but these guys are going along with it, but I feel like none of them like this heist. They don't like this caper. They don't want to be working for this guy.
I got it. Here's what it is. So Chad LaTilton, now in the position of president, is... consolidated power and is now wiping out all of the other underworld activities. And so now they need the one thing.
Oh, he's actually cracking down.
He's
they actually need to
down.
Fight to keep the
And so now
the,
they
the
need the one thing
market.
That keeps their businesses open, which is why all of these disparate underworld forces have come together to
So if we're doing that gives us a cool opportunity to have the Dick Tracy / Batman roundtable gallery of thugs.
Yeah.
So if there are any other really over the top characters that you want to get in, you know, like Littleface or whoever the Joker killed for absolutely no reason in the Batman movie, we can do that. So
we need other ridiculous side characters.
Totally ridiculous gang leaders.
Creepy Santa. Postini, of
Santa,
course.
Yeah.
Postini. The old world, he really, the
horse
godfather.
Boy.
Yeah.
Horse boy.
Postini. When I was a younger man, I used to bounce Chad LaTilton on my knee. I said, oh, you're such a good boy, Chad LaTilton. Now he's all grown up, a big piece of crap.
Max Trollbot. Is renowned for his acerbic wit. He's an unlikable bloke, that one.
Of course,
and Brad
maybe
Pitt.
Maybe Brian Brushwood, the magician.
The magician,
the first one.
The magician's going to be in this.
He's at the table, right? But he is bothered by somebody else at the table Brian, maybe we can reenact this famous scene from the book. You are the magician when all of a sudden you hear somebody walks into the room and you're dismayed to hear, "Ahoy, Brian."
Oh, damn it, Captain Morgan. It's a, why are you even here? You weren't invited. This is the Rogues Gallery.
I am an invitation. I invite the party, Brian.
But you didn't, but you're not invited here.
No.
Why do you, what makes you think?
That's my favorite song.
Wait,
no!
Is that a song?
Says the captain. Wait,
so there's three words. No, says the captain.
No, says
comes
the
next.
Captain. Doodly 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 do.
I have no idea what's happening.
Where did you pick up this song, Captain?
I used to sing it when I was on my boat. I would listen to the winds, Brian.
So you'd listen with the wind saying you this
song.
Yeah,
the wind would say, "No," said the captain. But it usually, I figured it out after a while, Brian. It wasn't the wind. It was someone
it
I murdered. I pushed them over the boat, and they were saying no. And then I would just say afterwards, "Said the captain."
Then you would go doodly
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 doodly do. Because after a while, they got annoying, Brian, them saying no.
What do you mean?
Because they were dying,
so
Brian. It's really inconsiterate.
So you stopped because they were, it was rude to
no,
be killing
I
them.
No, I just said doodly doodly do louder.
Okay, so Captain right, Morgan says doodly doodly doodly.
So Captain
doodly
Morgan,
do.
Of course. There we go.
Captain Morgan, who I guarantee will be dead 5 minutes into the book. By page three, just gone. That doodly doodly die, mother person. Check
what
swing.
About
check
L.
swing.
Stein.
Thank you. Okay, that is quite now. Is there any other tawdry information that we should get into this story? I feel the chat room is working hard to try and, you know, do
yeah,
this
no,
off. Like,
Rick.
This is a serious piece of fiction right now, and the chat room is trying to turn it into something that's just not serious. I don't really
yeah.
understand what's happening.
But Fat Rick is one of the Rogues Gallery. Fat Rick is Fat... Oh, never mind.
Fat
oh, Reggie
Rick?
L. Stein. It's. I can picture him at the table right now. I'm like, do any of you have any ideas for how we should run this adventure? Anyone at all?
Sweet Fat Rick.
No. Wait. I don't want to hear from Fat Rick. I don't want to hear from you.
I'm sorry, Brian. I thought you had said Fat Rick. Did you talk to us? I'm sorry. I'll just go back and eat
hear,
my party.
I want to hear what Reggie L. Stein thinks.
I'm Reggie L. Stein. I live alone.
Rigel Stein.
I normally spend my evenings bathing in my hot tub, smoking poorly rolled blunts, and sipping upon a fine port. Instead, I'm here with you. This rogues gallery deciding how to solve this mystery. I would say this. If this were one of my novels, I would solve it by saying that there is only one man who can get us to the end. It is Reggie. Reggie is a friend of mine.
The writer. Reggie is a friend of you. But your name's Rigel Stein, and this character's name Reggie. That seems really weird. That is real similar. Are you writing yourself into the books?
Mystery.
Okay, who is this guy? Because I like this guy. I'm rolling with this guy. This guy's great.
I'm Rigel Stein.
Rigel.
I'm Indian.
Not even close, but all right. Sure.
By heritage, you see.
Oh, yes.
By heritage Indian.
Colonial Indian.
Now we're doing bad characterizations of a racist portrayal from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. It's just all coming completely full around. Rigel Stein is a writer?
No, all right, no, that's our character, our R.L. Stein character.
That's our version.
Okay.
Have you met R.L. Stein?
Got it.
I'm a great big fan of your work, Scott Singler. It's good to talk to a fellow author.
That's wonderful.
We can
Thank
now
you.
Have author chat. I'm sick of talking to Brian Brushwood. He is a fool. I'm R.L. Stein. I live alone.
I just want to get out of the way. I want to actually watch Scott Sigler talk to our version of R.L. Stein.
I'm supposed to be talking.
One day, we should retire to my estate, Scott. I do live alone, so any time is good.
I gather that you are...
We've been in my hot tub. I have copious amounts of port, and if you do indulge, I am very crappy at rolling blunts, but I'd be happy to do. And then we could smoke it. My blunts are poorly rolled, but they are made with vim and vigor.
And this is what you smoked before writing all of those children's books?
Yes.
Poorly crafted blunts.
I write many books. Are there any Goosebumps fans in the house? I've written the Goosebumps series. I remember when I was writing the Goosebumps books about the slime that went to college. He was the older brother in the end. Spoiler alert.
Were these poorly rolled blunts laced with LSD? Is that how you came up with all these amazing little angel dust peppering the gumbo?
My blunts, they are done so poorly, I don't know what's in them. In fact, one time I found two roach legs and a copy of a Topps baseball card. I'm R.L. Stein, I live alone.
What's great about R.L. Stein is that he just, every single book has a backstory as of how it came to be known. For example, the three turtled shell. Where were you when you came up with that one?
Brian, I'm glad you asked. In fact, it's a question I get quite often. The Three Turtled Shell by R.L. Stein. A Goosebumps novel by Diane.
The cheap pop.
Why, I was on the beach. And by beach, I mean in my hot tub, which I call the beach. I was gazing upon the rippling waves when I said, "Doth I spy a turtle?" It wasn't. It was but a blob of port that had dropped out of my glass and had appeared as if a turtle by way of the lens of the poorly rolled blunt which I was smoking.
I gotta tell you, R.L., I thought you were going somewhere else with the turtle concept in the tub. I totally thought you were going in a different direction. But port, a bubble of port, sure. That's okay.
Indeed. Yes. I'm glad. Listen, it's good that we can converse as men of the word. Wordsmiths.
Yes. Wordsmiths.
What about your most controversial book, The Nine Fangs of My Aunt?
Brian, you know full well I've never spoken of The Nine Fangs of My Aunt, the only unpublished Goosebumps novel.
Oh my gosh.
Why, I remember it yesterday. I brought the manuscript for The Nine Fangs of the Ant, for which I wrote in 12 feverish, sweaty hours.
Wow.
In my hot tub.
Which you call the beach.
It was not yet called the beach. I then called it the Atoll.
The what?
The Atoll.
Oh, the Atoll, the Atoll. Yes.
No,
okay.
Brian, the E-toll. The big thing that you drive under on the freeway so you don't have to stop at a booth.
I meant it.
I could go unfettered through my creativity onto the Goosebumps fame. I wrote the Nine Fangs of the Ant. I brought it down to Scholastic. Rat Finks had to say to me.
What? I know publishing. What did they say?
Your main character, a 7-year-old girl, cannot end the book as Adolf Hitler's mistress.
Well, what is, you know, the shackles they put on you creatively? It's just ridiculous. You've got to be your own, express yourself. You've got to do your own thing.
I'm so glad that you're here, Scott. Finally, somebody understands R.L.'s plight. So I looked them into the face and I spit in it. And I said, "You'll be damned if you get another word out of me, R.L. Stein." Now, Brian, here is that, the catch.
Yes.
As it turned out, I had not written a book
called the Nine Fangs of the Ant. I had not visited the Scholastic offices, and I was indeed talking to an owl which had landed on the edge of the atoll.
Now, is it true that there are people who claim that you're controversial? You know, you didn't always do Goosebumps books for kids. You're controversial adult version.
The Goosebumps series. Can I get a witness?
When you tried to write a book for the adults, tell us the real story behind The Robot's Shame.
Brian, The Robot's Shame represented a sea change for me.
Yes.
And by sea change, I mean I cannonballed into my hot tub.
Was it the beach?
A sea change.
Was it the beach at this point or not yet?
No, it was not yet the beach. It was early in its construction.
Mm-hmm.
So I called it the Ivory Tower.
The Ivory Tower, yes.
Indeed.
A good place for a writer to be, the Ivory Tower.
The Ivory Tower.
Yes.
I sat upon the Ivory Tower and I said, who experiences the shame in modern society? Only to realize that it was not man, but rather man's greatest creation, the robot. I then fell asleep.
Now, there are some people that say that
it appeared as if I had written four words. It said, fart myself to sleep. I submitted it to Scholastic, and they said, why not?
Now, some people say that the entire thing is based on a true story, and when it's the robot shame, it's not actually about a monster robot. It's about a party in 1978 where you were seen and recorded doing the robot.
False.
And
False.
Became a viral.
These scurrilous rumors, Brian.
Are you saying you've
and
never done the robot?
I will not stand for them. I'm R.L. Stein. I live alone. I was never caught on tape doing the robot. I was caught on tape doing a belly roll in my hot tub. And by caught on tape, I mean I was recording it on a webcam for which I was streaming to RedTube. I called it the Stein Roll, and I made over $25.
All right, well.
It was an idea for which I had smoking poorly rolled blunts and drinking port. In fact, I would say that you could find illustrations of this and so many other of my adventures at Shutterstock.com.
Now Shutterstock, RL, this is amazing because I was always under the impression that you had to take all your own photos if you wanted to include them in the covers of a Goosebumps book. Are you saying your Goosebumps didn't come? You didn't take those photos? You didn't paint those pictures?
Indeed, I did not, Brian. I'm RL Stein. I live alone. I have no help at all. I'm lonely. Who wants to hang out with me?
Why do you always say
you're busy? I ask you to hang out and then you say no. And then I look on your Twitter and you say I'm having a great time eating pizza. Wither RL.
Okay. I'm sure that the fine folks at Shutterstock probably have a stock photo that matches your feeling. I'll tell you what, here, I'm going to go to Shutterstock.com.
Shutterstock, RL's only true friend. Shutterstock.com has the perfect image or video for your next creative project.
Type in loneliness or despair, Brian. What do we have there?
Yeah, no, I'm going to write here unending sadness. And let's see what we got
it's
here.
On your website. A publication, an advertisement, a video, or maybe another Goosebumps novel.
Can we just try I Live Alone? I have to see what comes up under I Live Alone.
First of all, can I say major high five to Shutterstock? Because I really did type in unending sadness, and this could be the cover of R.L. Stein's book about his unending sadness. I Live Alone. Let's take a look here. Oh, my gosh. There's a lot. lots of people who live alone. Look at all these people.
It's an epidemic. It's an epidemic, Brian. There's a lot of people living alone. Not all of them have hot tubs.
We are a very proud community.
Not all of them have hot tubs named either the beach or
Etol
or whatever
the
else. But
Tower.
There's a lot of them.
I'd like sources, to video clips I'd like from to around point the world and puts them at your fingertips. Take it from old R.L. Like Stein. Out, many contributors to Shutterstock are professional filmmakers and animators. This is true. I've vetted it.
There's 113 pages of I Live Alone images.
I Live
images.
Alone.
There's 113
these
pages
are all
of this. This is page
for the
one.
Record. This is not this is not real.
This, this is not how what I people live. Look like
however,
when they live
if you
alone.
You would like to make a that one. Hold on, wait a minute. No, go back up.
She's doing the finger cloud.
This
look.
Yes. No. This is my spirit animal.
I mean, this one right here.
If you are to ask, where does R.L. Stein go in his happiest moments?
It's image ID 315. It's image 315-511-39. Thinking middle-aged woman.
She looks,
that is, that
she looks
is
disappointed.
Your spirit animal.
And there's a certain chagrin to her face. Like, really? That's what we have?
I've got three words for all of you. Stein hit it. Shutterstock has flexible pricing. You can choose between individual clips or video packs, download clips in HD, or save with standard definition on web formats. You can try Shutterstock today by signing up for a free account. No credit card needed. Just start an account, begin using Shutterstock, and help imagine what your next project could be like. Save video selections you find to your clip box. Once you decide to purchase, use offer code NSFW114, and new accounts will receive 25% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com. And for 25% off new accounts, use offer code NSFW114. We like to thank Shutterstock for their support of NSFW. Oh no, it's time for R.L. Stein to leave. I live alone. I'm R.L. Stein. I'm tired of doing the voice.
Then let's talk another book outside of Goosebumps.
So,
if
no
I can
more.
Hijack this thing right
yes,
here.
Yes, let's talk about pandemic.
Yes, let's talk about the pandemic. Do I just begin, or would you? Is there anything you gentlemen want
well,
to say?
Right, here's actually what I want to know. This is the third book in a series, right?
Correct.
And can you, when you have something like this, does your elevator pitch change from when you just had the first book and you got your 22nd version of it? And like is it, can you not say the later stuff that happens for fear of screwing stuff up? Or what can you tell us without ruining things? How about that?
Well, I can tell you that what the series is about, it's kind of the classic invasion tale, but broken down into three parts. This is the final part. The first part is called Infected. And when you see any of the outbreak or invasion movies and there's the big map of the U.S. with all those red dots growing and showing millions and millions of people dying, I was always like, what about those little people in there?
Yeah.
What is their story? So Infected is the story of one person, Perry Dossie, who is just one of the countless number of people dying. And this is the early stages of the outbreak, so nobody has any idea of what's going on. He doesn't know what's happening to his body. What is happening to his body is he has an organism in him that is hijacking his cellular reproductive process to make little bits of things that are going to collect into something really nasty that will make him do awful things. And it's a straight up horror story. It's kind of a tale of possession. Then with Contagious, we pull the camera back and see the national response to the whole thing. This is the classic outbreak movie that we've all seen a few different times. What's the president doing? What's the cabinet doing? How do we react to this? And that ends really poorly. So if anybody's read it, no spoilers in the chat room, but it's a pretty dramatic ending. It's not the typical, let's stop the bomb clock with 0.01 seconds left on it. Things go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And then
this is a dark
is this
second act. This is
the first story.
No, it's Infected finishes.
Yeah.
And then the camera pulls back to the national response, which is the book Contagious, which is book two.
Yeah.
And then we defeat the evil in that book. And then camera pulls all the way back to the worldview. So global cataclysm, all kind of, you know, the body count in this book is in the double digit millions, triple digit
wow.
millions. It gets way up there.
Wow.
Very scientifically based. I got a lot of great consultants who helped make this as realistic as possible. But this isn't just a flu. This isn't a crazy flu. This is an intelligent disease that's actually capable of talking to its hosts, that can reprogram itself. When you stop plan A, the disease reconfigures itself and does different things with the human body to make plan B. So I can't tell a whole lot about the whole series other than this is the final book of the series. It does read fine on its own. We've got like 25 early Amazon reviews, and a lot of those people have never read the first two books, and they loved this book. So
it
can read it on its own, but in line with the other two books, it's pretty sweet. I've been working on it for 20 years,
so,
basically.
I would assume that it is a particular decision to say, let me tell stories that, although do go in a successive order, that can be read by themselves because they are telling a different phase of the story,
right?
The local, the medium, and then the worldview.
Right. And that's everybody's money is really valuable and his time is really valuable. So when you have a book come out, I want to make sure that if you just read that one book, something strikes you about it, like the cover or a cover blurb, or, oh, I know that guy and he likes that book, so I'll read it, that people can read that book unto itself and it's got a logical, satisfying conclusion. And if you don't want to go back and read the rest, then you're fine. What I try and never do is, let's take this giant-ass book and split it up into thirds.
Yeah.
So if you want to find out what's happening, you're almost held hostage to find out what happens in book two and book three. So they do stand alone. That's largely out of respect for the reader.
So, and I guess the nice thing about doing that, even if you were to start, say, in the middle chapter, it's like, okay, you get it. This is an outbreak movie, and you're watching what happens, knowing that there's – it almost – doesn't matter the personal or it doesn't matter that you know where the first book ends. And I guess that's the case because you're telling it to us right now.
Mm-hmm.
People in the chat were asking, and I was wondering the same thing. Are there audiobooks available for these?
Yeah. Infected and Contagious are on iTunes, the Amazon store. They're on Audible, and the audiobook for this should be out right about the 21st when the book comes out. So we put them out in all formats. This is from Crown, but we're actually publishing the audiobook ourselves.
That's
my
right.
Company, Empty Set Entertainment. So we have it in all formats. But the big format right now, you know, being kind of an up-and-coming author and trying to crack the New York Times bestseller list again, the trick to that is hardcover sales are kind of the big thing.
Sorry, you got a little...
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got a little dirt on your shoulder here about the...
But it's not an automatic with us. Like,
no.
there's some authors like, you know, Stephen King could fart and put it in covers on it and sell it and boom, number one New York Times bestseller.
Stephen King could
I'm
go
right
to Scholastic.
Here.
I live alone and sometimes I throw poo on a page and sell it and it hits number one. That's what I do. I'm R.L. Stine.
But so we really try and drive as many sales to the hardcover sales as we can.
All
and
right.
Try and drive pre-order.
So let's talk about where people can do that.
Yeah.
ScottSigler.com/pandemic.
Yes.
As well as Amazon. That Amazon is a very good place, especially because people who buy books go there.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy it there and review it there, that matters for other future.
That
sales,
matters,
right?
Because pre-orders of a book matter because they roll up. What the New York Times is looking at is sales by week. And if you got some kind what's that, Brian?
And I guess you have a bunch of insights that we don't have because we sort of stumble around and tell everyone to buy at the exact same hour. But it sounds like I always assumed that having pre-orders spread out over time was not as good as having everybody buy it the exact same day. But you're telling me, as far as Amazon at least, that that's not the case?
Well, with Amazon, everything that is bought before January 21st, which is the day of release... Week one starts January 21st. Everything pre-ordered before January 1st probably gets shipped right about then, and sales roll up to that first week. So, you know, for a mid-list author, the really big week is that first week. And if you can make that first week pop, then that gets you up onto the charts. And if you get on the charts, that opens up a few other marketing angles. Plus, you know, you get to, you know, get to do a little bit of that,
mm-hmm.
as you say, and strut around the house for a while, sometimes in a robe, sometimes naked. It just depends on the day. So it's pre-sales for week one. So that's what all our marketing revolves around, is trying to get people to go buy the book on Amazon before it comes out. It shows up.
Oh, here
out.
We go. This is brilliant right here. ScottSigler.com/how-to-help is you have a whole like FAQ of explaining, and it's got like a Q&A saying what helps you the most. Pre-order the hardcover.
Yep.
Is what matters. I'll tell you what, man. Anyone who's gonna turn the horse crap that Justin and I I'm going to buy me the hardcover right now. Anyone who could take the crap that we're putting out there and actually make a story out of it is someone who deserves what are hardcovers? 20, 30 bucks?
Yeah, it's about 20 bucks. I think 21 bucks on Amazon. But
all right, here, I'm going right now.
I do like coming on this show because just from watching the chat room, clearly this is my people,
yeah.
in some regard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, the book is kind of written by someone who would live in this chat room on a regular basis if it wasn't writing all the friggin' time. So there's a lot of double entendre humor. It's a lot. There's an enormous amount of crass humor.
For some reason, it's only showing me the Kindle on here.
Click on the title again. Click on the title of the book.
Wait. This one right here?
That's the one.
Well, it says Kindle edition.
Click the title.
All right, got it.
It also says hardcover.
There's hardcover. See hardcover down below Kindle edition?
Yeah, all right.
Yes.
Now I do.
Click it. Click
it.
Jerks.
There it is. All right, fine. Let's do this. Add to cart. I guess I got to sign in. Here, I'm going to go away while I sign in.
And the reason you guys can't play the trailer is because there's dirty words in the trailer. Is that right? I didn't know that. I would have come prepared with a cleaner version.
Is it uploaded anywhere?
It's the clean version? No, it's not uploaded anywhere.
All right.
Because I'm all about the swear words.
Then scottsigler.com/pandemic. We're not going to show it here because it does have swear words, but it's also amazingly intense. So go ahead on over right now to scottsigler.com/pandemic when you are listening to this podcast, and then pause the podcast if you're recorded and watch it.
This just in. If we do happen to crack the New York Times bestseller list,
yeah,
I've been informed by my business partner, A. Kovacs, I will write a Brock Sockman solo adventure and give that away as an ebook on the show to everyone in the chat room.
Well, then there we go. If you needed any other reason to go ahead and support Scott Sigler's new book, Pandemic, you have it right there. Here's another thing to support. Everybody come on out to Borderlands.
Yep.
Right? This, if you are in the San Francisco Bay Area, Saturday night, this Saturday night, the 18th, Scott's going to be there signing Pandemic, A. Kovacs, his business partner, and me. I'll be there as well. We can all hang out and have a good time. So come on down to Borderlands Saturday night, the 18th in San Francisco,
and the
California.
The tour kicks off in San Francisco, then we're in Chicago on the 21st. That's the day the book comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're destroying Chicago, Pandemic screws Chicago all the hell up. So if you're in the Chicagoland area, check that out. But just go to scottsigler.com, look on the right-hand side of the page. There's a column on the right-hand side that shows all the tour dates. And if anybody wants to come out and flash a little bit of this, you know, that's that's all good and fine. We'll have a good time. And we go to the bar every tour date. Everyone, we go to the bar.
Yes.
Yes.
See, although that's
Scott
commitment
actually
to the cause.
Told me, it was after Dragon Con. Me, A, and Scott wound up being at, like, the Atlanta airport for a couple hours. And you gave me the best advice that I've yet to follow, by the way.
Okay.
About fan events and your drinking consumption at said fan events. It is the Sigler rule for alcohol consumption. And what, as you said to me, and I'm sure you've said to people a million times, mm-hmm. you are drinking what?
Two Bud Lights.
Yeah.
Because I know exactly how much alcohol is in two Bud Lights.
Mm-hmm.
And one shot of Tuaca. That's it. That's it.
And you will be happy to accept that, right? Then at any point past that, you can be free to buy Scott something, but he gets to decide where it
and
goes.
And at no point does someone come up to you with a glass with anything in it and go, here, I bought you a shot. And you say, what's in that? And they go, don't worry about it. Just have the shot. It's fantastic. Don't drink that.
No.
Don't drink that.
That's Carney Cow trying to give that to you.
Yeah.
Don't take it.
Hey, mister.
Why don't you come
I noticed
on over
you're
there.
Vomiting your shoes out through your nose while you're on the plane, mister. And you got a show tonight. That's not going to go over very well. Yeah.
That's my bad Carney Cow impression.
That's good. I liked it. Pandemic.
Hey, Justin, do we have another sponsor? Because there's some other housekeeping things. We do.
Brian Ting. Tell you what, man. Ting.com. It's a hell of a service. Service so nice, they named it once. Ting.com.
That's their motto.
Yep. It's NSFW's brought to you by it. It's the no BS mobile service. There's been a lot of talk. There's two things that are dominating the news. Chris Christie's bridge scandal and all the BS going around with these here mobile carriers. Well, Ting's here to solve it. They're going to say no BS from here on out. It's an MVNO reseller of the nationwide Sprint network. You want to know what? T-Mobile's made a lot of noise lately being like, hey, we'll pay your early termination fees. Ting says, don't call it a comeback. We've been here for months, probably not years, but like definitely a long time, longer than T-Mobile. They'll pay your ETFs truly and completely contract-free once you get over to Ting. T-Mobile can't do that. When you port on over to Ting, simply purchase your device through Ting, port your number, then submit your final bill with your ETF detailed from your previous carrier. Go to ting.com/ETF for more information. And they got everything covered for you. No overage penalties, no add-on charges, no mysterious line items on your bill. Like, you ever get your cell phone bill and you see a line item like, you know, C period cows meth or RL Stein's port. You're like, where the hell did this come from? I don't know. Ting does away with this. Very, very simple. Powerful online account control. And how about this? No old customer support. 1-855-TING-FTW. Call that anytime between 8 a.m. And 8 p.m. Eastern time, and a real person will pick up. So do me a favor. I'm going to give you the whole, you get to freedom by following these steps. First, purchase your mobile device from Ting, which you will receive in 2 to 5 business days. Or, how about this? Bring your favorite Sprint phone all on over to Ting, like the iPhone 4 or 4S. Check out the list of eligible phones by going to nsfw.ting.com. Ting will even help turn your old device into cash and help you move on to Ting. After you activate your device with Ting, you're going to have the option to select a new phone number or port an existing one. Ting will break out your rates by minutes, text messages, and megabytes, and bill you at the end of the month for what you've used. Visit nsfw.ting.com. Save money, better manage your mobile usage. Check out their savings calculator. Tell you, you don't believe me? They got a calculator. Trust that, jerk. And see how much you or your company can save. NSFW viewers will also save $25 off your first Ting device when you sign up. Again, nsfw.ting.com. Start saving today.
Hey, man.
Smooth as butter.
It was perfect. Everything's great, sir.
Welcome.
Oh, there we go. Oh, crap. I was actually trying to do the movie draft a minute. We went long, and I still have a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about. We have they sold out of that first run of We Are Chat Realm shirts, and they're thinking about doing another one at Teespring with that dope ass design with the crest and the shield. Do you?
Yeah. Do we have the Chat Realm shirts? All right,
if you go to teespring.com/chatrealm-crest, man, that's how we'll know. The truth is, I would say, and I think this is legitimate, this is probably the best shirt we've ever had in our clubhouse that's not just the straight-up diamond club symbol. Like, this whole crest thing looks awesome, and nobody's going to judge you. You can walk anywhere. You can get backstage at concerts. You can do anything. Oh. You can fly.
I'll judge everybody, so I'll keep judging people. That's fine.
Yeah, this I don't think nice. You can keep it. Yeah. It's Patrick's, but
that sucks. What is right on the bottom there? What is this?
DIAF. That stands for die in a fire.
Okay, that's lovely. That's friendly.
Traditional greeting.
It's the love.
And by the way, we don't make any money off of this. This is a Chat Realm thing, not a Brian and Justin thing.
No, you guys.
This is buy four and up Chat Realm.
We're not going to the well yet again to bilk you of more money. Yeah.
I can't even do that today.
Exactly.
I'm
it's Scott's turn to bilk you.
I am a bilker. I bilk. That's what I do.
Sergeant Bilko.
Bilk and bilk alike. Hey, Justin, do you want to talk about my favorite review of Andrew Maid's show?
No.
Okay. All right, fine.
You mean the one that was sent to us in confidence?
Well, it's on the internet. I just thought
it
that was
is on the internet.
There's a 14-year-old blogger. I mean, look, just because someone sends me something doesn't mean I assume that it's all got to be in secret. It's true. All this secret pants. It makes me very uncomfortable. All right. There's somewhere out there, if you can find it, good on you. There is a review for Don't Trust Andrew Main that's written by clearly a 14-year-old that has.
I don't think it's a 14-year-old, also.
What? No, it's got to be.
I think it says at the bottom that they have supported independent arts and cinema for 10 years.
There's a precocious little one.
17 years old? I don't know. It has one line.
It's got a money line. Basically, it's a very positive review of Don't Trust Andrew Main, which, of course, premiered last night on the A&E Network. It will another power rock block hour of Don't Trust Andrew Maine next Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. But he
and that stuff's free online right now. You go to aetv.com. You can watch both those episodes. I'll tell you what, man. We did a live stream viewing party, and literally my face hurt from grinning by the time it was over. Like, to see one of our own do so well just made my day. It was amazing.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, that review took umbrage toward people who were criticizing television magic. Would you like to paraphrase the quote, Brian? Let's also understand here that there's a term that either me or Brian would use personally or condone publicly. But in the phrasing of the quote, its ridiculousness tickled our fancy.
Okay, hold on. You know what? I'm going to use that word to search for it in my Gmail.
While he's searching, can we buy these? I'm sorry. Can I buy one?
The chat room t-shirts. Yeah. Are they back up on Teespring or?
Yeah. No. They're right there. They're up. I think it queues up for another run. Like, it doesn't say, like, I'm seeing the words buy it now, right now. Here we go. The way Teespring works is you get a bunch of people who say they'll buy it if enough do it, and then they do the run. So right now it's at 4 sold towards the goal of 30, but you could click buy it now and then make it happen.
Excellent.
And
okay.
And here, so if we hit 30, which I'm sure we will, or they will, again, it's not us. So there's a choice quote that said, I'll try to change as many of the words as I can.
Yeah. Well, do we want to come up with a substitute for the offending word?
Okay, I don't want to get all about
that
word.
Is this a verb, a noun, or an adjective?
It's okay. My opinion is this: should you have issue with television magic, should you have issue and say that TV magic is not real and is ruining magic in general, then you are a British cigarette and your magic is inferior. How about that?
That's good. That's right. Good.
That puts it across quite well.
Exactly. Yes. You are a British cigarette and your magic sucks. Very pickled.
Well, I said as is inferior. Very pickled. Oh, by the way, that's Brant will bust that out at the best moments. Like, I was trying to make a Photoshop and he was kind of watching me like, yeah, how do I do the thing? And then it's like, I move it in position and I hear him quietly say, very pickle. Like, using it as an actual word.
All right. So everybody, in all seriousness, go ahead and check it out. iTunes, Amazon, or aetv.com. Andrew was extraordinarily happy with the response from Diamond Club. He came on the live stream that we did during the show. So please continue to support it. At AETV is where you can let everybody know that you were really enjoying the show. This social media stuff does matter for new television. It very, 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 very much matters. So if you like it and you want to see more, which, I mean, hell, I can't see why you wouldn't. It was a really fun show. Then go ahead and support it at AETV on Twitter.
Movie Draft Minute.
Let's go.
Movie Draft Minute.
Welcome to the final Movie Draft Minute for the winter 2013-2014 season. I'm your host, Roberto Villegas. All good things must come to an end, and so does this season. Let's go check out the scoreboard one last time. Brian Brushwood's in sixth place with $226.1 million.
Woo!
Tom Merritt's in fifth place with $317.6 million. Jeff Cannata's in fourth place with $420.3 million. Casey McKinnon's in third place with $506.4 million. Justin Robert Young's in second place with $526.8 million. And in first place with $599.6 million, it's Padre Robert Balasar. And that is your final Movie Draft Minute for the winter 2013-2014 season. This is Roberto Villegas signing off.
Dude, Padre SJ, the $600 million man.
Well, you know, my theory going into it was you have to get over $500 million, and I did. And then that was certainly not enough. You know, it's almost as if I have the specter of my regret hanging out behind me, over my shoulder, like a creepy, shadowy priest.
It's a,
and a pimp like, cap.
To be honest, I thought it was the debit daddy just hanging out behind you.
No.
He looks good.
Yeah.
He looks good. Congratulations to Father Robert Balasar, wherever you are.
I'm glad that the Puerto Rican leagues are over, and we can now get to the real movie draft, the summer movie draft.
The one true movie draft.
Exactly.
That's the only one that
so
matters.
Join us for next summer's, or for the summer of 2014's NSFW/ this portion is up for sale, depending on whatever the new show is. Movie draft.
Man, dude, it's a good time. I love the movie draft so much. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure they're already working on that. Number of people are working on websites so that you can play at home. I know that T2T2 is working on a version, and I saw some chat where someone else was making an alternate version. It's freaking awesome. So there's that. I guess, is that it? I mean, I by the way, I don't know if you saw, but I definitely did pre-order the book. And Scott, you are amazing and awesome and everything that's right with independent authors who are out there melting faces.
Sir. Yes, we try. We try very hard, and sometimes they're offensive, like I was tonight, a little bit with the swearing. Sorry about that.
It's fine.
Sorry about the potty mouth. But yeah, scottsigler.com/pandemic. Watch the trailer, because the naughty words they can't put in this show, you can put right in your ear holes, and they sound just fine. It fits well.
Shove it right in there.
Shove it.
Shove it up.
Shove it up. Yes.
Take it.
Take it. Salad. Toss salad
wanna,
for lunch.
You want to? Do you want to play us out there, or you want me to do it on this end, Jammer B? Yeah.
I think it was a very good show.
Yeah, are you gonna push me? You trying to push me?
Did I?
No! I ain't trying to push you!
Did I keep the belt? So
you did.
So I can do this?
Woo! 3-time world champion! Woo!
Dude, man, amazing times. I guess I'll see you guys next. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Dying of fire.
And just boo, 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 boo. NSFW.
Oh, I'd rather. It's a heartwarming song.
Die in a fire than to spend a single moment without Brian Brushwood. Oh, I'd rather be dipped in honey and fed to a pig and pile than do without Justin Robert Young for even a little while. Oh, NSFW. I love you.
That's naughty words in the chat room.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah.
So confused by this rule structure. I can't find any consistency.
I love you.